saved today, thank the Lord, determined more than ever to live for the Lord. I was just thinking that sometimes we're praying for people and we're called to pray for people, or sometimes the Lord just puts people on your mind. He ever does that, I'm sure He does that to you and to all of us, for us to just pray for. And I think about how the devil, how they sing that song, the devil is a liar. The scripture says he's a father of lies. And the devil will try to paint you a picture. Have you ever been in a trial? He says, I'll just give the Lord up. It's not any use anyway. He's not going to probably come through for you. He's lying. The Lord has never failed us, and He never will fail us. And so I'm grateful, because the devil will try to paint a big picture, a beautiful picture of what it would be like if you just turned your back on the Lord and served Him. The devil will paint this picture of how it would be like if you just yielded to the temptations, if you just yielded to the flesh. He'll paint this picture, but he won't really show the truth of it. And I look at how some folks would be a lot better off. Well, not some people. Every person. Every person would be better off if they served the Lord. Every person. The world would be better off if everybody served the Lord. And so, saints, you know, the scripture says that we're the salt of the earth. Do you know that we're the preserving thing? We're what's keeping this earth, the Lord, from coming back. We're praying. We're seeking the Lord. We're asking the Lord, Lord, help us that we might be the examples that You want us to be. I want us to turn to John, the 8th chapter and the 29th verse, and we want to talk today about pleasing God. Pleasing God. John 8, verse 29.
He that sent me
is with me. So he said, He that sent me is with me. Okay? The Father has not left me alone.
For I do always those things
that please Him. Not just sometimes I do what the Lord is desiring. You know, no doubt, if you look at it, some people can say, every person can say at some point, some of the things that they're doing is pleasing God. I mean, God is pleased with that. Now, what I mean by that, if we take that isolated case where this person helps an old lady across, he may be an evil man, helps an old lady across the road, or he gives somebody some money, or he does some wonderful deed, then you know what? I believe the Lord is pleased with the deed. Maybe not with the person so as much as what they do in the general context of things, but in the context of that one little act, they please the Lord. So they can say, you know, at some point in my life, I please the Lord. At some point, I believe it pleased the Lord when the Lord deals with them and the person says, yes, I'll do what You would have me to do, and they don't do it. But I want to take this thought and dissect it a little bit. I believe it pleases the Lord when a person says, Lord, I need you, I'm seeking You, I want to be close to You. I believe at that moment God is pleased with that person for having a desire to come to the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? But He may not be overall pleased with that individual. But here, overall pleased because that person may have just made a step in the direction of the Lord. So in other words, they're stepping in God's direction. God is pleased with that. But in order for them to go all, in order for God to be well pleased with their life, they've got to go all the way. Alright? It's not good enough to make a step in the direction of the Lord. What the Lord desires and what Jesus died for is for us to go all the way with Him. And I believe God is pleased when a person lives for the Lord and a person gets saved and they're going all out for the Lord. I believe He's pleased with that. But what we have to do, we have to always do it. We have to go all the way with the Lord, not just some of the way. So I bring out that point to show us that I believe that God is pleased. Probably in some context of every one of our lives, there are some things that God is pleased with. But what we want is God to be well pleased with our entire life. In every context, in every situation, in everything that we do, in every situation of life, we want God to be pleased with us. Alright? Not just in one or two or some of the things. So He says here, this is Jesus speaking here, and He says, and He that sent me is with me. Now, so what that means to you and I is that the Lord is sending us out into the world. That's what He says in His Word. He said, I send you as sheep amidst wolves. And He's not going to leave us alone. Jesus Christ, as our shepherd, is going to go with us no matter what we face. He's going to be there. in the trials, the problems, the tests of life, the tribulations that you have to go through, the Lord has sent you out into this world. He is the one that created you. We didn't ask to be created. None of us had the capability to say, Lord, I want to be created, and I want to be created in this family and in this environment. We didn't have that. The Lord, in His wisdom, chose what He wanted us to do and what He wanted us to be. And let me tell you, no matter how abusive your background may be, no matter how whatever it is that you went through, the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. And He hasn't done that. All right? So He says, that He that sent me is with me. The Father had not left me alone. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to know that the Lord is with us? That we are not alone. That we don't have to go through our trials and our tests of life by ourselves. God is there with us. All right? So He says, I am not alone, for I do always those things that please Him. So it's not just one or two things that He does, but His life. This Jesus' life was focused on pleasing God. So one of the things that is a requirement, if a person is going to please somebody, they have to know something about that person. There are some things that everybody likes. One thing that everybody likes that I've run into anyway is everybody likes good food. Right? All right? And so one thing that would please most people is giving them a good meal. And when you at Christmas time, you get have a good meal, and somebody's put forth an effort, a great effort to make this happen, there is something pleasurable about it, isn't it? All right? But there is a difference. You know, I know a person, one time, you know, I like collard greens, Sister Elvina. I love collard greens, all right? You want to know my last meal, my last supper. I probably told you this before. But you can put some collard greens, some candied yams, some macaroni and cheese, and either pork chops. That, I really like pork chops. I don't eat them. I don't need to eat them. And some cornbread. You want to make a man happy. That sounds good, doesn't it? Okay, so I like that. That's a good meal for me, all right? And it makes me happy when I eat it. I can take fried chicken. I like fried chicken, too. So if you don't want to give me the pork chops, you can give me fried chicken. But I was talking to somebody one day, a friend of mine, and he was saying, you know, I don't like collard greens. And that was surprising to me. You don't like collard greens? No, they were just, no, it's just, the taste is too bitter or too something. So I was surprised. So here's what I'm saying. Would it please this man for me to make a good bowl of collard greens with some ham hock in it and whatever else you put in it and give it to him? No, because he doesn't like that. All right? But would it make me happy if you did that? It would make me happy. So here's my point. My point is we have to know what that person likes in order to please them. All right? And so in the same way, we have to spend some time with the Lord in order to know what pleases Him. You know, one thing, what if a man comes here, my wife needs something to drive, and he comes home with a big one-ton truck? You think she's going to be happy with that? No, you know what it is? Sometimes we want what we want, and so we buy what we want and give it to somebody else, knowing that they ain't going to drive. She's not going to drive that truck. She wanted a car that's a nice, smooth car, and you say, well, look, baby, you just asked me for a vehicle, and I got you what I wanted you to have. Well, and what we have to understand is if we are going to do what pleases another person, we must know what pleases that other person. And then we must do what it is that that person wants, not what we think is the best thing for them. So in the same way, if we're not careful, what we will do is things that we feel like God should be well pleased with, and the Lord says, I didn't ask for that. We find a place in the Scripture where it was Saul in the Old Testament, where the Lord told him to go and kill the Amalekites. Just utterly destroy them. But what he made is provisions and did what he wanted to do. And he came with all the sheep, and that's not what pleased God. As a matter of fact, now let me tell you, what happened in that situation is the Lord was pleased with sacrifices. The Lord wanted them to find sacrifices of sheep and goat and whatnot, and he wanted them to come and bring it to him and slay it, and now he's doing this very thing that in this context pleased God, but in the context where the Lord said, I want you to obey me, that didn't please him, because what you're doing to bring about this sacrifice, you're directly disobeying me, and I don't want that type of a sacrifice. And so in order for us, and you know, if we're not careful, we'll do just like Saul did. We will, in our disobedience, we'll bring something that in this context God is well pleased with. But in the context that God has told us to go out and utterly destroy this thing, we have decided in our mind, I don't want to destroy it for whatever reason. And I can make justifications in my mind that I want to hold on to this thing and I don't want to do this, but I'm going to bring it. So in order for me to hold on to this thing, I'll just bring it and I'll say, I'll give it to God. And the Lord is displeased with that. So what you and I must do, we must come to the understanding to know that the Lord is well pleased with what? Our obedience. And so Jesus, in everything that he did, he obeyed the Lord. He knew what his focus was as saints of God. Let me tell you, our focus must be that, Lord, whatever it is, I'm not here to please me, I'm here to please you. I'm not here to please people, I'm here to please you. That is the ultimate focus. That's the hierarchy of pleasing something. The Lord first, and then others, then ourselves. That's really the hierarchy of it. Lord, help us. All right, let's go, and I'll prove that. Let's go a little further here. Matthew 3, verse 17. Someone get it in Luke 3 and 22. Matthew 3, 17. Lo, a voice from heaven saying. Okay, let's back up. Let's get the whole story here. Matthew, go up a few verses to get the... Yes.
Cometh
Jesus from Galilee. Jordan unto John
to be baptized of him.
But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, I remember a message that Brother Methuni brought out, and it was, and what he said is, this is a time that Jesus hadn't done anything. That Jesus hadn't started his ministry. He hadn't gone to the cross, obviously. He hadn't done anything. But God was well pleased with him. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What had he done? What made God, and he said in the text scripture that we brought out, I do always the things that please him. One of the things, as a child, what did Jesus do? As a child, he was subject to his parents. He was the perfect example. And so sometimes we feel like, because in our lives, I'm not a Sunday school teacher, I'm not a preacher, I'm not this, I'm not that. We concentrate on the negative. And I don't have this great ministry, and therefore I'm not as worthy or as of a much worth as the other person. But the Lord was pleased with Jesus, and Jesus hadn't done anything in the way of public ministry. What Jesus had done was obeyed God to the letter. And so what we must do, we must not transfer or transpose what we think God is well pleased with us, and I want to be a preacher and I think God is well pleased, but you can be out of order trying to be a preacher when you don't have the gift of being a preacher. The Lord didn't make you like he made me. He didn't make me like he made you. He wants you to do what he made you to do and me to do what he made me to do. That's well pleasing to God. And so here what we understand from this passage of Scripture is that Jesus, in his obedience to God, following right in his ministry, was just like every child's ministry. Every child's ministry is obeying their parents in the Lord, for this is well-pleasing to God. That's your ministry.
And every person that feels like they don't have much to do in the church and it doesn't seem like they're of any great worth, your ministry is obedience to God. Your ministry is being faithful to God in the little bitty things, in the things that don't seem like they're inconsequential. Your ministry is being faithful to God in those little bitty things. Somebody is watching your life. Somebody is patterning their life in some way around you, and as you please the Lord, as you obey the Lord, it pleases Him, and it's having an effect on somebody else. So this is where I believe one of the reasons, a multitude of reasons of why Jesus said, the Lord said, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I'm well pleased in what He's doing, and He hasn't done anything great like what He's going to do. But you know what? If He hadn't been faithful in a few things, you're not going to be faithful over much. So the Lord, you know, I say this all the time. I know you've heard me say it many times. The Lord takes us to trials. Some of the trials that seem like that people take you through, do you know that those are testing? Do you know it's just like taking all the things that our machinery and all of every part in our car has been tested to the breaking point. And they know exactly what strength it will break at. And they don't put it on the car until they know that. And then, you know, you ever had a recall on your car? Because they found out that something in that car was not holding up like it's supposed to. And so it affected the whole car. It made the whole thing. It made it dangerous for you to drive because this thing is malfunctioning under pressure. So do you know what the Lord does for you and me in our ministry? You know what the Lord does? The Lord gives us trials. People that come against us. People that say things that they shouldn't say. If you want to be a preacher, let me tell you, you better get used to folks talking about you because they're going to have something to say. If you want to be used by the Lord, you better get used to folks not liking you because somebody is going to come against you for doing what is right. And so the Lord gives us an understanding in our mind that I want you to understand that I'm choosing you for something. I don't have to tell you what it is. Not yet. But I want to see what your breaking point is. I want to see how you handle pressure. I want to see if you can stand firm in the midst of the pressure, in the midst of the temptation. I want to know if you can give the testimony to somebody else that God can take you through these things if you just stand firm. It seems like He's not there, but He is there. He said He would not leave us. The one that sent me has not left me alone. And it seems like sometimes, Lord, I don't know where You are. Why don't You come? Why don't You do something? I'm here suffering and I'm going through this, Lord, and it just seems like You're standing afar off. Why are You doing this to me? Have you ever prayed that kind of a prayer? Have you ever felt that kind of a feeling? And the Lord said, the one that sent you is with you. He has not left you alone. For you do always the things that please Him. And what do? We say, Lord, not my will, but Your will be done. Have mercy on me. I'm going to stand firm until You come get me. Sometimes that's just the best thing to do, isn't it? Lord, I'm just going to stand right here until You come and rescue me. I'm not moving forward, and I'm not going to step backward. Lord, I'm just going to stay here. I'm going to fall on my knees, fall on my face to You, and I'm going to pray until You come, Lord. You're going to come. I know You are. And He'll do that. All right? So He says, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Luke 3:22. Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape, like a dove upon Him. And the voice came from heaven, which said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in Thee I am well pleased." What did He do? What did He do? He was faithful where the Lord put Him. Do you know that's all you have to do? Be faithful where the Lord puts you. Do you know that there are little bitty things in whatever it is that we... these glasses here. There is a little screw, some right here, a little screw that needs to be there. It's not seen. There's a little hinge here. It's not seen, and it's not very important as far as the style of the glasses is concerned, but it has a place, right? And if we took that out, it would affect the entire structure, the entire usability of these glasses. All right? And in the same way, you may be that little screw that's holding everything together and making it possible for us to wear, for the Lord to do what He's doing. And it seems like you're so insignificant. Don't let the devil tell you that. You do always the things that please God. This screw is not complaining about being where he is. He knows that his position is important. Now, you must know that what the Lord has for you is important. It may not be what everybody else, but which one is more important? Which one is more important? The frame or the little screw that holds the frame together? Which one is more? Which one can you say is more important? Well, I think it's more important than the frame. Let's take the screws out. Now wear the glasses. Now put them behind your ear. Now keep them on your face because the screw is not there and it's less important than the rest of this. So in the same way, you cannot allow the enemy to tell you and discourage you that you're less important than the preacher, that you're less important than the song leader, that you're less important than any other saint. You're one of the ones, by the grace of God, that is holding everything together. You be faithful where the Lord has placed you, even though nobody can see you, and even though it looks like nobody cares. Somebody cares. I care. The Lord cares. As long as you're doing what pleases the Lord. You don't have to please everybody else. And do you know what? You don't even have to please yourself. Sometimes we want these things because it's what we want. I want to be seen. You know, one of the things about folks in church, have you ever gone to a funeral and see, folks like showing up? No, they like showing up, especially at funerals and things like that. Especially when you go out into the world. If you get you get a microphone in somebody's hand and a little spotlight and they get to sing a solo, pray for me, they're so humble. No, well, they want to be seen. Lord, help us. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's true. And so we have to fight that. We have to ask the Lord, Lord, take it away. Because there's something about all of us that we want to be commended by men. But really what's better is to be commended by God. My beloved child in whom I'm well pleased. We got to get some stuff out of it. Do you know the Lord takes us through these trials to purge us? Because we have things on hand. We have issues. We have dross in our gold. And the Lord takes us through these things. And you know, when we go through these trials that press us and we're in the furnace, what things start bubbling up. You start seeing things about your little personality, your character defects, that the Lord says, that's got to go. We got to work with that. And the Lord starts dealing with us about ourselves. He said, because if that doesn't go now, if you don't get that going now, then I can't use you here. Because right here, that can be magnified and that could completely undo everything. The Lord is not so desperate that He has to have you or me. Lord, help us. All right, let's go a little further. Hebrews 11, verse 5. Talking about pleasing God, pleasing Him. That's what we want to do. Hebrews 11, verse 5. Let's start there. By faith, Enoch was translated. What did Enoch do? Okay, let's go. Keep going. Said he pleased God. Okay, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, what did Enoch do? He pleased God. What else did he do? You can tell me what Paul did. You can tell me a lot about Job or Moses. You can tell me a lot about Abraham and Noah and Peter and John and a whole bunch of other folks, but what did Enoch do? We don't know. All we know about Enoch is that he is one of two men that didn't die. That's recorded in the scriptures. He's one of two men that the Lord just took right out of this earth and took straight to heaven. All right? What did he do? All we know is that he did always those things that pleased God. That's all we know about him, in essence. We don't have any account of his dealings and how he lived day to day other than this testimony that the Lord has given us in the Scripture that he pleased God. And so you know what that was encouraging to me about that? Is that all of us little ones that don't mean very much and haven't done very much and nobody knows what we're doing, God knows. Don't be discouraged by that. Don't be discouraged that nobody knows your name. Don't be discouraged that the folks in the church don't appreciate you. God appreciates you. And we do too. The church appreciates you. Don't let the devil tell you that. But the point that I want to bring out is Enoch walked with God till he was not. God just translated and took him out of here. God, why? Because he pleased God. Saints, does Enoch have a monopoly on pleasing God? Does Jesus, the Son of God, God himself, does he have a monopoly on it? Is he the only one that can do it? No, we can do it as well. So I want to encourage you, whatever it is, your life, living for the Lord, the way the Lord wants you, that pleases God. It doesn't have to be that you do some great, wonderful, majestic thing that the world, some legacy that you leave, that the world knows that you were there when you go and that your place is missed. What you need to do is please God. All right. Let's go a little further. So it says here, without faith it is impossible to please him. So we find out that there is an absolute necessity of faith to please God. So one of the things that we must do in order to please God is obey him. That's what Jesus did. Just obey what he wants you to do. Have the focus of obedience. The other thing that you have to do is you have to have faith. It says without faith it's impossible to please him. Why is that? Because you don't know, have you ever seen God? You don't know what he looks like. You have not come in the essence that I'm talking about, in the point that I'm making here. You haven't seen him face to face. Not in a literal sense. But you have to believe that he's there. Have you ever listened to somebody that believe that they're an atheist and they are wanting to debate you about their atheism? I don't know what happened to that person or what was happening, but they're going through all of this trouble to express to you that there is no God. And to me, that's the most foolish thing that a person can do when you look at what God has done. The nature speaks that there is a God. Nature speaks it. If you won't just look around, you'll find that there is a God. So it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he exists, that he is everything that we need. That he is what? You can say he is dot, dot, dot. He is your helper. He is your keeper. He is your friend. He is whatever it is that you need. God is that. That he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Some of the problems that we have is that we don't put forth the effort to diligently seek the Lord. All right, now let's go a little further here. Let's go to Romans 8, verse 6. And someone give us Romans 15, verse 1. Romans 8, verse 6.
To be carnally minded is death.
But
to be spiritually minded is life and
peace. To be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Because the carnal mind is enmity with God.
Yes.
It is not subject to the law of God,
neither indeed can be.
So then,
they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. All right, that's good enough. It says here, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So if you're carnally minded, if you're caring for the things of the flesh, if that is your main focus, that you're wanting the things of this world, then it's impossible to please it. You're in the flesh. So there are two things that we find out. If you don't have faith, you can't please the Lord. And if you're in the flesh, if you're more concentrated and concerned about the things of the flesh than you are about the things of the Spirit, you can't please the Lord either. So we have to have, Lord, give me not a carnal mind, but give me a spiritual mind. Lord, change my mind. Give me a change not only of heart, but a changed mind, the renewing of my mind, that I might understand what is that perfect will of God. I don't want to be conformed to this world, but I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Lord, have mercy on us. And we have to say that, and we have to pray that, and we have to seek the Lord about that on a daily basis. Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. Have mercy on me, Lord.
All right, so we're not in the flesh. If you don't do the thing, if you don't concentrate on the things of the flesh and you turn to the Spirit, then you can please the Lord. All right, go to Romans 15, verse 1.
We then.
That are strong.
Ought to bear.
We are obligated to bear the infirmities of the weak.
And
not to please ourselves.
That every one
of us please his neighbor for his good edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them
that reproached
thee
fell on me.
Yes.
They were written for our learning,
that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. All right, that's good enough. So he says, we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Do you know that not everybody has the same constitution that you do? Not everybody has the ability that you do. And sometimes we disdain and we look down on other people because you can think to yourself, I wouldn't do that. And you wonder why there are others and why is it that one of the fruits of the Spirit is long-suffering. Why do you suppose that the Lord put that in there? I mean, we like joy, peace, love. We like all the other ones, but long-suffering. Do you know what that means? And what they learned in Sunday school, they said, what does charity do? It suffers. It suffers for a long time. So we have here long-suffering. The Lord put that as one of the fruits of the Spirit, long-suffering, that we suffer for a long time. So it says here, ye that are strong ought to bear the infirmities. You're obligated to bear the infirmities of somebody whose mind is not weak. They can't take all of that in. So you've got to be patient with them. You've got to suffer long with them, don't you? You've got to be patient with that person. So these are things that in some ways we want to say it's a positive thing, but it also has something that we have to bear. And the Lord is well pleased when we're patient with somebody, because you know what? What I've learned in my quite a few years of living, what I've learned is that somebody is bearing with me. No matter how wonderful you think you are and how perfect you think you are, I've learned that somebody has to be patient with me, because I may happen to be a person that can get it done like that, but some folks don't like that. They're very deliberate. They want to think it through. So when I'm push, they're having to be long-suffering with me and being patient with me. And so you know what? It's well-pleasing to the Lord for them to do that. And then when they're very, very deliberate and I'm doing this and tapping my foot, you know what? The Lord wants me to be long-suffering and patient. Why is well-pleasing to the Lord? Ye that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please yourself. All right? Not to please you. So the hierarchy of pleasing is God first. Okay.
Then it says here in this scripture, let everyone of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. So it's God,
it's God, it's others, then it's me.
For even Christ pleased not himself. As it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. And if Christ was here to please himself, he wouldn't have done a whole lot of things that he did. And when we can turn it in our mind that we're not here to please ourselves, we're here to please God. He's number one. All right, so God is number one. Our neighbor and then ourselves, according to that scripture and according to the rest of the scriptures. All right? We're not as important as we think we are. Lord, help us. All right. All right, we're almost done. Colossians 3, verse 20. And someone else get us.
Psalm 69, verse 30. Yes.
Children, obey your parents in all things.
Now, you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, "For I do that which I do always that which pleases Him." So who's He talking to? Who's He talking about? He's talking about His Father. All right? Always I do that which pleases my Father. All right? Now, what does He say here in this scripture? Children, obey your parents
in all things.
For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So you know what the Lord requires of us as children? You know, a child, what's a child's ministry? A child's ministry, as we said earlier, is to obey his parents. And, you know, and I'm talking to us who we understand that we obey God. And if our parents are telling us to do something that, and we don't have that problem, so there ain't no use in saying it, but our parents don't tell us to do things that God didn't tell us to do. And then if there's a way for us to do it, we don't put our hands on our hip and say, well, I'm not going to do that because we don't do that. Do you realize that one of the requirements that the Lord has, first requirements that He has of all of us, is to learn how to submit to authority before we ever become an authority? And if we do not learn how to submit to authority as children, we will not be a good authority when we become an adult, and we will not be able to submit to authority when we become an adult. So this is why you have problems, because a child does not learn how to die to themselves, how to die to the flesh. And this is why a parent must be consistent in what we teach our children. We must be consistent. When we see something, little junior, that is rising up, that needs to be, like my aunt said, we need to knock some of that out of them. That's how the old time folks used to do. Now they want to call CPS. But what we learned back in those times is you get a hold of yourself so mama and daddy won't have to. I learned that well. I don't know. I decided when I was about 11 years old, I done had enough whippings. When they tell me what to do, I'm going to do it. And I learned that, and I was 11. I didn't have to be 15, 17 years old before I stopped getting whippings. And let me tell you, I needed them all before then, and after that I probably needed a few. But I learned how not to do it, how to be obedient. How to be well-pleased, because it's well-pleasing to the Lord. That's your ministry, children. Obey your parents. That's your ministry. That's what's important, all right? Psalms 69, verse 30. Moving toward our conclusion.
I will praise the name of God
with a song. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving.
This also shall please the Lord.
Better than an ox or bullock. All right, so what do we give? You know what is ours, what truly is ours, is obedience. Nobody can make it. They can make us comply, but they can't make us obey. You understand what I'm saying? The difference. The obedience is the submission of your will to someone, to the will of an authority. So that obedience belongs to us, and nobody can force it. They can force compliance, but not obedience. If you understand the very fine line, rightly divide the line of the definition. Another thing, we can sing, but praise belongs to us. In the midst of the storm, do you know what we can praise the Lord, or we can say, you know what, Lord, I can sing, but that's not praise. You understand what I'm saying? Praise is a willful submission to your will. Lord, I'm in the middle of this battle, and it's a difficult battle. I don't understand it. I don't want to go through it. But Lord, not my will, your will be done. I thank you and I praise you for this battle that you're taking me through right now. That's mine to give. It's mine. Now, you can say, now, listen, I want you to sing. When you get in the middle of this, I want you to sing. I can sing, but I can't praise unless it's willful. All right, so what is that? Read that scripture again. I will praise the name of the Lord with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord. All right. Better than an ox. Better than bringing something. Better than giving. You know, like folks like giving you money. That way they don't have to give of themselves. They give you money, then I don't have to give of myself. Money is easy for me to do. But to give you me is a little more difficult. All right. Hebrews 13:15. Yeah. Humble shall see this and be glad. Heart shall live that seek God. That's wonderful, isn't it? And someone give us Proverbs 16:7. Hebrews 13:15. Read it, please.
Hebrews, by him, therefore, that is offered the
sacrifice of praise
to to God to continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So what we're saying in essence is praise sometimes is a sacrifice. Sacrifice of praise. I'm in the middle of a battle and it's hard, but I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to give of myself to Him. I'm going to pray that the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. All right? Proverbs 16 and 7. Proverbs 16 and 7. If you have it, read it, please.
When a man's ways
please the Lord, all right. Isn't that wonderful? Now, you know why we have, you know what peace really is? When a man's ways please the Lord, He makes even his enemies be at peace with Him. You know what that means? That means that there is, as we go back to the first scripture that we read, He said, the one that sent me is with me. God has not left me alone. For I always do that which pleases the Lord. You know, the Lord is always with me. When you were a child, and when you thought your daddy could do anything, and you just walking in hand in hand with your daddy, were you scared of stuff? No, you weren't. Because daddy could do anything at that age when you felt that way. And you know why? I've said this many, many times. You know why we have peace? It's not because we don't have enemies. It's because we have more power. And so the more power we have as one of the superpowers of the world, and people got to think twice about coming and dropping a bomb or starting something here on our soil, right? The reason we have peace at this point is because of power. Where there is power, there is peace, all right? So what we have here, if we could just open up one day, the Lord just walks around with all of the bullies, and you know they're talking about bullying nowadays, and they're bringing up all this stuff about bullying. Well, just suppose that the Lord could just walk around one day and the Lord can just, the smallest person, weakest person, what people might say, the wimpy person, if the Lord could just say, all right, I'm going to open up everybody's eyes and they're going to see your angel that's walking with you and you're going to see him. And he's your guardian angel and he stands 15 feet, however tall he is. And he stands there with you, he goes to school with you, and he goes, everywhere you go, he goes. And you can see in everybody, do you suppose you'd have a problem with bullies? No, you wouldn't. So what this is you're, as long as you're close to the Lord, as long as you're by the Lord's side, the devil cannot bully you. And you know what he said? Even his enemies be at peace. The devil, there are some things that the devil won't be able to touch. Some things that the devil won't be able to do because the Lord, you please the Lord. May the Lord help us to do all that we can and all that we know to please Him and make ourselves well-pleasing unto the Lord. Pray for me.